They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Phillies team chaplain, Pastor Robert Pinckney, once again filling in for Kyle Horner. Pastor Rob, great to have you with
great
us one
back.
More time.
Great to be back. Always a pleasure to be here with my brothers in Christ, my man Doug, and Pastor Rob Motti.
Guys, we have a very special show coming up because this is going to be our Christmas episode, and we have a guest who's going to take time out of what is a very, very busy schedule right now, and he's getting all his elves to make the toys and everything else they do. I'm not too familiar with all that nonsense, but he's going to find a way to drop by all the way from the North Pole. Then I think he has to go back, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
He has to go back and get all the toys and come back. So we are going to have Santa Claus. He will be here in studio later on, and we can't wait to talk to him. You guys excited about that?
Oh, man.
Can't wait, man. Santa's coming in. You know, I figured he would just have everything UPS back down or, you know, delivered. By the amount of packages that are on my doorstep,
I got to tell you, as a kid growing up, I was the one who wasn't, let's just say, I didn't buy into the theory.
You and me both.
Not really?
Santa wasn't allowed at my house.
No, we didn't do it either. Well, that's my question. Do you do Santa with your girls?
We do. We'll talk about that later on.
Pastor Rob, do you
do it with your...
No,
sir. No? All right, yeah. So it's two against Rum.
I didn't. It's not that we didn't do it. It's just that I didn't buy into it. So I remember going to Catholic school and being told by, I believe it was Sister Rita, Sister Dennis, whoever it was, don't ruin it for the other kids.
Right.
I had to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
So I didn't really, but my girls, they're all in, and it was something that we were a little hesitant about. But we make sure we do it the right way, and we make sure they know what the Christmas season is all about. And, you know, that's what I want to start off with, because this is our Christmas episode. So let's talk, guys. Let's talk about the true meaning of Christmas, the real reason that we celebrate on December 25th, the true meaning of Christmas. And the true meaning of Christmas it's not shopping for gifts. It's not looking for all those deals, sitting in traffic and fighting the crowds at the mall and running out on, I hate when people are running out on Black Friday or Thanksgiving night to get those sales that they really aren't sales, but they're just hyped up for all the consumers who really don't know any better. And then there's Black Friday and there's the Monday and Cyber Monday and all that stuff. But the true meaning of Christmas for me, and I think for a lot of people, and I really hope this is the message that we can convey today, it isn't about asking for presents, for gifts or presents or toys or lists of this or telling people all the things you want. It's definitely not about ugly sweaters or even in the elf and the reindeer and jolly old Saint Nick, even though he's going to be here later on. The true meaning for Christmas is celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whether he was actually born in May, June, November, whenever he was born, it doesn't really matter the actual date. We celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th.
Amen.
And I feel that we get in this society, we get caught up in everything else. And it's sad to see so many people get sidetracked by all of everything else and they forget what it's really all about. So I want to talk and address the person who has that shopping cart, right, filled with Christmas gifts, but they're yelling and screaming at the cashier because they messed up a sale or something, or they're cursing at someone who dared cut in front of them in the line. Guess what, though? Jesus would rather you celebrate his birthday by treating people in a Christ-like manner than buying a ton of presents and treating people like a jerk. And I feel that the commercialization of Christmas has kind of ruined that meaning for a lot of people. And I'm not here trying to fight against that, not trying to be a Scrooge or whatever it is. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. But I want to emphasize that it shouldn't be so stressful for people. So many people are stressing the lists and the shopping and making all these plans and everything else. It's a celebration, and it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus. And it should be focused on as a holy day, not so much as a holiday.
Amen.
And for me, that is the best way to celebrate Christmas, is to imitate the love that Jesus had for everyone that he came across in his life.
That is so true. I want to ask you a question, Rob. Like, when you were growing up, were you into the shopping at one time? Like, were you an avid shopper, or were you out on Black Fridays and Cyber Mondays?
I'm still a shopper.
Okay.
See, I love to shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love to buy gifts, but I never asked. And I could go back and ask my mother and my dad, and they always told me, like, even as a young kid, I never asked for things. The only thing I wanted was baseball cards. When, like, my mom would try and take me to, as a young kid, I wasn't into cartoons. I wasn't into G.I. Joe. I was only in baseball and into football and into sports. So we'd be, I remember it was Yankees Dodgers World Series, 1981. Afternoon back then, they played the World Series, okay?
Yeah.
And we were going to go to my cousin's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're going to be watching cartoons. And I'm like, no, I want to stay home. I want to watch the World Series. So I would, and also growing up, we didn't have a washer and dryer. We had to go to a laundromat, right, in South Philly for many years, until we finally got one. And one time I remember hiding in a dryer, playing hide and seek.
Wow. That's good stuff.
So I would bribe my mom, I'll go with you to the laundromat if you buy me baseball cards. But that was all I ever asked for. So
really?
Growing up, I never asked for things. And even now, like, I have a hard time. Like, my girls, like, want to buy me things for my birthday. And I'm like, in fact, today, as I'm getting them ready for school, Melina's saying to me, we want to get you something for Christmas, and we want to do that. And I'm like, you know what the best gift is? It's a smile on your face.
Amen.
For me, it's a smile on my kid's face. That's what it's all about. It's something I got from my dad. He never, ever asked, ever asked for anything. All he wanted was, as I was growing up, he didn't want gifts or anything. He wanted hundreds and A's on my report card.
That's great. And
that's what it was all about. But that doesn't mean, you know, we shouldn't shop for other people. We shouldn't give. I love giving.
Mm.
I'm not into receiving. I'm not into asking. I'm not into taking. And I love to give, not just to people who are close to me and I love, but I think the true meaning of Christmas should be giving to the people who are most in need. It should be something you do year round.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could focus one time a year when you're going to reach out and do it, give to the people who are most in need. And as I said the other night at the launch of our Remy and Rob Be a Blessing Foundation, it's about giving to the people who can't do anything in return for you. Because we're really good at giving people who we think can reciprocate, right?
Yes.
It's about giving to people who can't help you, who can't return the favor. They're the ones who need it the most.
Yeah, I think there's two parts to that, though, Rob. I think, you know, when you're talking about your little girls, and I find the same thing with my kids, too, you know, you may not ask them for anything, but them giving you a gift means a lot to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it is better to give than receive. And so they get really excited. I know my kids, they get to go to school, and they kind of have like this little shopping mart at school. So they, you know, get a couple of dollars, and they go in there. They have some free time during school to be able to go in and you know, search for a notepad or a mug. And, you know, I have a plastic Eagles cup that Aubrey got me last year. And like, if I bring that out and I'm drinking, I'm like, Aubrey, here's my Eagles. Like, she loves that Eagles cup, right? And it just means that, hey, I gave that to Daddy, and he likes that. And that's something that I was able to connect with him about. So I think, you know, from our kids' standpoint, we may say, no, you don't have to get me anything. You don't have to get me anything. But I think there's also a healthy aspect to teach them. So, yeah, Daddy would like a cup, or Daddy really likes the Eagles, or Daddy needs a new tie, or Daddy needs socks or a belt, or, you know, something little like that. But
and then when
connection.
They give it to you, go over the top and being thankful for it. Being thankful for, like, and loving it, and making sure that they know you appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other piece to it is, you know, when we look at Christmas and the holidays, I think there's an emphasis on giving to other people and helping other people out, right? And there's a lot of organizations, nonprofits, charity events that people do things for. But, you know, during the downtimes when it's not the holiday season, that may be a great time to help people out, right? So when you look at America and you look at the government, that they're able to to intercede and really help people, as opposed to third world countries where there is no government to help people out, right? But to be able to go in and help people when not everybody else is doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go into a meal kitchen right now, it's probably packed with people, but there's probably a lot of people volunteering to be
there.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving time especially starts.
But you go kind of like the end of February, beginning of March, mm-hmm. I wonder how many people are in there because, you know, we're in the middle of school and there's jobs and it's getting a little warmer out, still cold out, but a lot of things are happening, you know, but go when nobody else is going and maybe not celebrate Christmas. Hey, I'm doing this for Christmas, or we kind of put it on our calendar as this is a thing to do to give back, but kind of do it all year round.
I feel like what you're saying, it's 100% dead on, because giving should be a 12-year cycle. It should be a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week thing. It shouldn't be just a ritual that you do, that you go through and say, okay, let's check off the box. I did my giving for the year. Let's now move on to the rest of our lives. And it's not to diminish. I'm not trying to diminish from anybody who does those things, because you always need volunteers to do wonderful things.
And it is a special time of the year.
It is. And it's also hard for a lot of people.
Sure.
This time of year, it's hard for people who've lost loved ones, especially if they've lost them around Christmas season.
Yeah.
And it's hard for people who don't have the funds to be able to buy and give and do those things. And that's the point that I really want to emphasize, is I really hate seeing people feel bad that they can't give anything to somebody. I think it's unfortunate, because it doesn't always have to come down to a physical gift you give somebody, because it's your time. If you give them your time, or if you give them prayers and you let them know, especially if there's something going on in their life and you don't really have much to give, but is there anything more powerful than giving people your prayer?
Well, you know what? Absolutely not. And let me tell a quick story with that. You know, when my son passed away, and we've talked about that over the past year with our episodes, to this day, my wife still has friends that every 15 minutes of the day, starting from 6 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock at night, every 15 minutes, somebody would pray for our family.
Wow.
And, you know, when you go years later and people still show you their alarm clock on their phone and they're like, hey, this is my time to pray for you. It's just a little bit different than going through a tragic situation and having somebody say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Mm. And then they kind of forget about it after a little while. And I think the worst thing we could do for somebody is say, hey, I'm going to pray for you, and then not pray for them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it almost pacifies the situation. But to go back to your point, Rob, I don't think that we always have to view it as somebody that is financially in need or struggling or in a poverty situation, because I'll give you another example. You know, my mother-in-law just passed away the day before Thanksgiving, and she was suffering from cancer and she was in hospice. And so even leading up to Thanksgiving, and even now going into Christmas, it's a very difficult time. But during Thanksgiving Day, it obviously took a huge toll on my wife emotionally and physically. That day we had a couple families that actually brought over Thanksgiving dinner for us.
Wow. That's
you
great.
Know, and they didn't have to do that.
That's
and,
great.
And it was just a matter of my wife didn't have the energy, and absolutely, you know, what we were going to do for our kids. We order a pizza or something like that, and they'd be fine. But my wife felt a little bit bad that, you know, we weren't going to have the Thanksgiving that we normally do to be able to celebrate as a family. Mm. And obviously, with my mother-in-law not being there, it was heartbreaking in that sense. But for those people that brought over that turkey and everything else, full Thanksgiving meal, that was a huge blessing.
Mm.
You know,
and that's the part where you're just giving.
Yeah, and you know, it's publicized
compassion
out there. They didn't do it for attention. They did it because they cared and they loved.
That's great,
know? And,
man.
And so maybe, you know, you don't have to necessarily go to some sort of organization to give, but just meet people where they are and understand their needs and try and just love on them a little bit, you know?
You see people in hospitals and they might not have somebody to visit them, or you see people who are just going through a tough time, whatever it is emotionally that they're going through a tough time, and being someone who is willing to listen, being someone who genuinely, when someone says, how are you doing today? How are you feeling? How are you? And you could tell that their response might not necessarily jive with the way they look. They might say, oh, yeah, I'm okay. But you know something, like being that person who reaches out and says, hey, if you need somebody to talk to, that's giving. There's so many different examples of giving. Giving of your time, giving of your heart. Giving of your heart is what really summarizes what Jesus is all about. Mm-hmm. And what Christmas is a celebration of Christ's birth. Earth. So forget about all those things you got to check off and all the traditions that we're going to get to a little bit later on in the show. That's not what's the most important thing. That's not the most pressing stuff that you have to get to during this time of season. It's about, it's just, love. Love, 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 love. Love people, love your neighbor, and love everyone. Love everyone you
meet. It's about perspective. We've talked a lot about perspective. When an athlete gets injured, when they go through a difficult time, when they go through a successful time, it's all about the lens you're looking at life through. And if you have the right perspective and you're able to see the Christmas season, and I don't think we need to get, you know, crazy where, hey, you know, you can't have a Christmas tree, you can't celebrate Christmas, you can't do Santa Claus,
no, you can't
do any of that.
You gotta love the tree and all that stuff.
Yeah, some people don't, you know, like they're like, hey, you know, we want to make it all about Jesus and we're not going to commercialize it at all. Right.
See,
there's two different ways you can go with that. So
I think that's over the top.
Yeah, because I know some people that do that.
Yeah, like sure.
It's a church that I know where they say no Christmas tree,
no nativity scene.
Nah, they won't bring in no Santa for the kids.
But you can go nativity. You just can't go Santa.
Yeah, you can't go with the Santa. You're not bringing the Santa.
Wow.
You know, and oddly enough, that's the way I was brought up.
Uh-huh.
You know, the church that I was brought up in,
right.
We were not allowed. My dad made us think that Santa was Satan.
Wow.
It was rough, man. It was rough. And I got a story to tell later on when we get into, you know, about me and my wife as far as Santa.
Yeah, you know, we got to get into that. Yeah. So let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about some of those traditions. Let's talk about how we handle it. Because for me, it's tough because you got your kids going to school and they're caught up in this environment and you're trying to teach them right. And you're trying to lead them in the right direction and celebrate the birth of Jesus. But there's so many other things that are pulling them away and pulling at their time. So when we come back, we'll dive into that a little bit. And then we will have Santa on later on.
Santa!
And what I want to hear from, what I want to ask Santa is some of those stories. Like sometimes you hear these kids who go up to Santa and they're not asking for like that laundry list of toys, and they're asking for something that's so heartwarming. Like maybe they're asking for something for their parents, or they're asking for pay a bill, or pay a mortgage, or pay get heat on in the house. That's the kind of thing that really gets to me. And those are the kids that man, you feel for because they're going through life, and it's a whole other kind of battle for them. So you are listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports. ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists is a privately owned group located in Turnersville and Linwood, New Jersey. Online, they are MedCorpUSA.com. Dr. Sylvie and his staff can diagnose and treat disorders of the lungs. Asthma, especially asthma caused by allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, shortness of breath, and chronic cough. They also treat sleep problems like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea has become a huge part of their practice. They have 10 home sleep tests that test for sleep apnea. Testing is recommended if some of the following pertain to you. Someone has told you that you stop breathing while you sleep. You snore loudly and frequently. You wake up choking or gasping. You wake up with headaches, sore throat, or dry mouth. You experience insomnia, unrefreshing sleep, daytime sleepiness or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability. You are drowsy while you are driving. You are frequently waking up to use a bathroom. You have a large neck size, 17 inches for men and 16 inches for women. You have a family history of sleep apnea. Call MedCorp's asthma and pulmonary specialists at 856-352-6572. That's for their Turnersville office, and 609-788-8953 for their Linwood office.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Phillies team chaplain Pastor Robert Pinckney filling in for Kyle Horner. Guys, we are talking about Christmas and the birth of Jesus and the true meaning behind Christmas. And we said that we've all had different kinds of thoughts about we're going to have Santa Claus coming on later on. And we've all had different kinds of thoughts about Santa in our household and how we were raised. I told you how I grew up not buying in, so I never really felt that way. And then when Remy and I had kids, we were kind of up in the air about it. But it wasn't really like everybody around them was talking about Santa, 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 Santa. And no matter what we said, they want to know all about Santa. And it was just cousins and aunts and uncles and things like that, mm-hmm. people around talking about Santa. So it's hard for us to say, okay, let's go with it. So what we do, what we make sure to let them know is we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we got a little tradition on Christmas Eve where Remy makes dinner, and we order a cake, and the cake has a nativity scene on it, and it says Happy Birthday Jesus, and we put the candles in, we gather around after dinner, and the girls sing, we all sing Happy Birthday to Jesus, and they understand that that's what this is all about, and we have them involved in all of our giving, all of our everything that we do, how they know that we collect toys, and we've been doing it now for 5 years, collecting toys. We've done it for Camden Rescue Mission, Angels of God, Children's Hospital. So they know what that's all about. But I feel that they're smart enough right now. They ask questions, and they're only four, but they'll figure it out. But how about you guys?
I grew up, I think, you know, I remember sneaking downstairs a little bit, you know, in the steps to see my parents put the presents under the tree.
You caught them.
Yeah, I caught them.
How old were you?
I was a little bit older. My brother was, you know, I don't know, maybe like 7, 8, something like that by that time.
I don't think we played along.
I don't think, you know, I think mom's like, oh, Santa's coming. We never made a big deal about it. But
so your parents never actually told you that?
No, not really. I mean, it was just kind of like, it is what it is.
Okay.
You know, there's presents going to show up underneath the tree, and you know you're working through it. But but we decided with our kids that we weren't going to tell them about Santa, or we were going to tell them about Santa. Like, we weren't going to like make it a secret. You know. So
so you told them right away. The deal, the truth.
When they get a little bit old, yeah, they get into like, you know, preschool, kindergarten, about where your kids are, your kids' age are. You know, we're
so
like,
before
no
that,
Santa.
How did you handle it?
Well, they didn't really know. I mean, they were just too young to realize that. But the problem is when they go to school and the kids are like, yeah, Santa's coming.
Yeah,
and then we had this, especially with my second daughter, Paige, who's now 10, where she's like, yeah, Santa doesn't exist. That's your parents.
She
blew it. That's Paigey. That's what she
got. Yeah. Kids.
Like, so she, her class.
Oh,
so the teacher, I remember getting the call from the teacher saying, you have to talk to Paige. She's going to ruin Christmas for everybody. And it was, you know, and so she came and she's like, what? You know, like, he doesn't exist. I want to tell him about Jesus. You know, it's all about, you know.
Wow.
So I'm like, hey, let's use those powers for good. Let's make sure that we don't.
That's awesome.
Well, Rob, I wanted to ask you, like, with the twins, at what age are you guys are going to?
They're in preschool now, right?
They're in preschool now. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like I feel like at the age where we can tell them.
Okay.
And at the same time, make sure they don't tell the other kids because I don't want to get that phone call that you got.
I think that's the biggest that issue that we have as parents right now.
Yeah. I have no problem telling them that
it's not Santa, but like I don't know.
But
that
don't go tell
old
anybody.
Enough to not tell anybody.
Yeah, right now I don't know if I tell my girls that they're not going to go run into school and they might do it.
Santa's not real.
So I feel like, but they're pretty sharp. I feel like by next year. It might be able to be like, hey, okay, this is the deal, but you know what? Just go along with it in school, play along, because they're pretty good actresses.
They would make it that way.
I'm just gonna play along, act along. They love when the camera's on and they love to act. So I'm gonna tell them just play along.
Well, Lucy's only 13 months right now, so we have one more.
Years.
We have one more to kind of not mess it up with. So
I want to hear about what your dad did to growing up, Pastor Rob.
Man, listen. Santa Claus was not allowed in my house at all. I really didn't know about Santa. I would always see Santa Claus, but I wasn't asking about Santa Claus. I would see people, because it goes as far as I'm a 45-year-old man that never went trick-or-treating.
Oh, wow.
No trick-or-treating either.
I never went trick-or-treating.
How about your kids?
They never went trick-or-treating.
How about that? And was your dad a pastor, too?
Yes,
no?
He was. Okay. He was a pastor, and he just didn't play that. The first time... time I went to the movies was when I started like dating Dana, and I was like 20 something years old.
How about
and,
that?
And we never went to the movies. He didn't believe in movies.
Yeah, what was the reasoning? Like I get the Santa thing and I get the Halloween for sure.
Man.
I like if I had to rank them in order of anti, it's Halloween is like number one.
Yeah,
Santa, I feel like it's, you know, Saint Nick, and you know, you can go play along with that, but Halloween, no. But what was the movies? What was behind
that?
He
just said that movies was of the devil, and that's where we were. He was like, no, it's too many nudity and vulgarity and stuff in the movie, so he never allowed
us
to.
So he brought out the water boy, right? Everybody's the devil, so that was
pretty much. Yeah, but we never, you know, was allowed to go to the movies, man. If it wasn't VBS or Sunday school and stuff like that, we weren't allowed to do it.
So how'd that pass down to your kids then?
Yes, it did. And that's where me and Dana used to butt heads at times. Where she got mad at me one time.
It's okay.
You know.
It's okay. In the family. It's okay.
Yeah, we had a disagreement when she was like,
You saying you fought with your wife one time?
No,
Come on, Pastor Rob.
Me and Remy had a disagreement earlier today.
Oh, Lord. Love you, Dana.
Love you, babe.
But, I told the kids, because she used to tell them about Santa, and they used to believe in Santa, my older sets. And then one day I told them, like, listen, Santa is not keep taking the credit from what I'm doing. I'm working hard at night. Listen, I'm the one that bought these gifts. And she was, like, so mad. She was like, I don't believe you did that. So now with the younger sets that's growing up, they just totally just don't believe in Santa at all. Nothing about Santa Claus. And I wouldn't even put up a thing with, you know how people have ho-ho-ho and Santa. Yeah. Nah, that's not me, man.
No?
So you're gonna have your kids are older.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
So any married?
No, none of them.
Not yet. So you're not ready to be a granddad.
Nah.
Because I can see Pastor Rob coming in a Santa outfit.
Oh,
man. Grandkids. What's the grandbabies?
I like that theory, though, about what he said about the gifts, right?
Yeah.
Because last year, on Christmas Eve, I'm trying to watch a bunch of football games, and I'm putting together this kitchen for the girls, right?
Wow.
And originally, this kitchen was supposed to be from Santa. 7 hours later, as I'm struggling putting this thing together, right? I was about to call it an STUPID thing, but that's a bad word in our household. You can't say STUPID.
Don't say that. We don't want people turning off the radio. Right?
7 hours later, I'm like, babe, this ain't from Santa. This is from Daddy and Mommy, because I spent 7 hours putting this thing together. And wouldn't you know, though? They love it, and then 15 minutes later, they're on to the next toy. They're on to the next one.
Yeah.
So Remy and I are like, all right, certain things, they're going to be like, you know, Santa will get a couple little things. Mommy and Daddy are getting you the things that you really want.
You know, that's Christmas Day. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, traditions that we have.
Okay.
You know, I think that when you kind of lead into the holiday season, there's a lot of things that we do, whether it's, you know, you're going and getting a real Christmas tree. So are you a real Christmas tree guy?
Actually, I was a fake Christmas tree guy.
You're a fake Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Are you a real?
Oh, I would no, no. We got four trees this year. We only used put three up. They're, wow. They got to be artificial.
Yeah,
because the
so
real ones artificial. Make such a mess.
Yeah,
they all
absolutely.
Make such a mess.
So we go all artificial too. So we're not like go out and cut your own tree.
Nah,
I think that would be good, but I don't want it in my same thing. I don't want it in my house.
Too much of a mess.
Yeah.
And then
a lot of upkeep.
Yeah, and then my cat would jump in the tree.
Oh
like,
man,
climbing the tree. So I was like,
wait, you got a cat? No poinsettias in the house then? Right?
Oh no, nah, no poinsettias. That's why I couldn't take
the
other night.
Poinsettias the other night.
So,
well, we could talk about Christmas movies later too. You
know? Oh, man.
But you know, one thing that we do, just kind of our traditions, you know, when we go places during the year or we go on vacations, we always try and get a Christmas ornament, you know, from wherever
that's
we
cool.
go.
Yeah,
Chris
great.
And I kind of started that when we were, you know, first married, and it's really kind of taken off, and we really enjoy that aspect. So it's kind of like you can kind of reminisce about all the things that you've done in the past.
Non-breakable ornament?
No, there's some fragile
there's
guys.
Some
in there
oh, you gotta be careful. Yeah,
we're good. So, but we've been doing that ever since we got married. So usually the weekend after Thanksgiving, we put our tree up, you know, and kind of decorate
so
the
you
house
do wait
a
yeah
bit, so.
Remy's like November 1st she wants to, and I'm like, calm down babe, calm down.
Oh, really?
Like
right after
this
right after
year
the
we
Halloween
stretch
dress.
It to like the 10th or something
November
but before Thanksgiving we have it all up. Yeah, she loves it, but I would rather wait till Black Friday.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Saturday usually afterwards, but it's just kind of like that morning that you kind of have where soccer season's over and the kids don't have sports anymore, and you're able to kind of just relax and kind of get it up, make sure that you're not waiting too long. Otherwise,
now let me ask you guys this: are you guys helpers, or you guys are the one that initiate the decorating, or you just help with the Christmas decoration?
I am the ornament hander outer because we have with all the girls. I'm kind of like so the hander outer, absolutely. It's
wow.
Official title.
Yeah.
So, and Chris, you know, has to make sure that everything's put in the right spot. So we usually go decorative balls first, and then we go special ornaments second. And the kids have some of their own ornaments too. But you know, I'm kind of like, you get this one, you get this one. Otherwise, they'd all be digging in there.
Oh wow.
All the other ones. So I delegate.
It's a process, man. It's a process.
It's a fun process.
I do the outside. I do the outside. I set up the trees on the inside. Like I said, there's three of them this year, four last year. That's a lot of decorating. So I had to put up some ornaments and some of that stuff. I have no problem sitting down and letting Remy and the girls handle that.
Okay.
But they're in the breaking things more than they are putting them up and helping right now. They try, but a lot of times they fall.
Well, let me say this. Am I a Scrooge because I got like not one light or not one bow up yet?
You don't have anything up? And you have an artificial
nothing.
Tree? You get away with that with a real tree, but not a fake tree.
Listen, I don't have not a light. The only light I have on is my lamp light. I don't have no lights or nothing up yet.
Now, will you?
Yes, I will put up stuff.
You're not this. I used to see this on TV, right? Especially, I used to watch soap operas growing up. I was a big used to watch Days of Our Lives, right? And I'd always see the Days of Our Lives tradition is the day Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, they would all decorate the tree. And I'd be like, well, how are you enjoying Christmas?
Well, if it's a real tree, sometimes people go out
the night
on Christmas Eve day and
get a
tree.
Is that what you do? You do it the
well,
day?
Usually, me and my wife are behind the eight ball this year. We usually didn't have stuff up already. It's just like we were so busy and time just flew past and it caught up to us. So, you know, we got to get decorating. So, we'll get at it.
Pastor Rob, you are.
Oh, okay. I'm reading this comment from Chris Horton. That's your wife, right?
That is his wife.
That's your
what
she said? She said we need a faith on the field ornament.
You know what, Chris? She's right.
We need a faith on the field ornament.
We have the nice logo now. We got to check.
Wow.
We
got to
get on that and figure it out. We're waiting on Santa, so we'll go to a commercial and we'll make sure that Santa comes on in a little bit. I wanted to talk a little bit though about some traditions, like growing up,
great.
Some of the traditions that we do, some of the things that we have gone through in our lives. I came from a really big family, Pastor Rob. 10.
Yes.
My parents both came from a family of 10.
Mm.
So I have 53 first cousins.
Wow.
Okay. So with 53 first cousins, growing up, before we all grew up, got married, scattered all over the world, many of us, we all lived in the same area in South Philly. And we would have four big time family gatherings.
Wow.
Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and each a different family would host, and we'd all get together. together, and it was really cool. And I missed that because now as we all got older and we're all scattered, we see each other at weddings, we see each other at funerals, and we don't see each other at Christmas time. You see some, but you don't see them all. But that was like our growing up tradition, and it was really a different kind of environment, different kind of atmosphere, because there was a lot of togetherness.
Wow.
That's, you know, as you get older, you have your own kids, and then you start your own traditions.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's great.
So do you guys do Elf on the Shelf? I guess that's the big question, kind of the newer thing that we didn't have when we were growing up, right?
No,
we
didn't
have any Elves on the Shelf.
I had never heard of Elf on the Shelf.
Sir, listen, we were driving my two high school students to class this morning, and I asked them, I said, did you guys ever hear about Elf on the Shelf? They both said, no, we never heard about it.
High school students,
yes,
right?
They said they never heard about it.
Might be even younger than that. So my kids have it in their classroom, and so Aubrey is in first grade, so she comes home and she goes, Dad, guess where the elf was today? And I'm like, someplace high. She's like, how did you know? You know, it's like a big deal.
Wait,
so,
but she...
So, well, she just likes, you know, guessing where the elf is. It has nothing really to do with, like, Santa or Christmas. It's kind of like just, like, this little guy that shows up during Christmas time.
I'm hoping my girls ain't watching right now.
Oh, so they into
my,
the elf.
My sister-in-law bought him the elf. Well, it came from the North Pole, right? The elf came from the North Pole. It's got magical powers.
Oh,
and let me tell you about those magical powers every night. You know, those magical
powers, it's a whole behavior deal, right?
Yeah, when you forget to move it and you got to get up out of bed to make sure those magical powers kicked in and little elf moved. It's a process.
So you're the wink, wink mover?
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the kids like it. The kids really do like it. So Chris and I talked about it a little bit and just said, hey, we might want to get this just because the kids enjoy it so much. We'll move it around and just play games with it.
But
you
they
stick
get
it in a jar.
They
and
get
all that
it,
kind of
though,
stuff.
Right? They know who's.
We kind of made our own
that.
Elf on the Shelf in the fact that we have this little Santa like ceramic doll that I always wanted. I don't throw anything out, so I'm more of the hoarder than my wife is. So my wife will just chuck everything if she could.
Okay.
But I kind of keep moving the Santa. She's like, I hate the Santa. I want to throw it out. I'm like, we're not going to throw out a Santa doll. Like, you can't do that. So I always put it in different places, and then she takes it and then hides it. And so when I find it, I put it back up somewhere else. So it's kind of like our little thing that we do. But
Remy's chiming in here on Facebook Live saying that I don't do anything with the trees other than put them up because they're heavy. And I want to remind Remy that one of the trees, not the main one, but the one in the dining room, she left sitting there this year undecorated after I put it up for about a week to 10 days. Ooh. So I was the one who took the initiative and started putting everything on, and then she made sure it was arranged the way she liked it. So
those trees break in half usually,
I just
want
to let her know
ones.
That I did help a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have to carry them all together. They usually break. That you can just break them in half, right? So
I'm still stuck on four trees.
It's four, man. Well, we cut it down to three. Maybe next year. But I have to have lights on, and you know,
okay.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Santa, and then we're going to talk also a little bit about some of Christmas songs, and maybe if we have time, we'll get into some Christmas movies. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Fall is around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the tree awareness experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733 and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
A criminal charge is something that hopefully you and your family will never have to deal with. This can be one of the most difficult times in a person's life, and it's important to understand your options. Whether it's an illegal gun, drug charge, or a DUI, understanding your options is the first step toward a good outcome. If you are charged with a crime in Pennsylvania, visit my website, gambonelaw.com, or call my office at 215-755-9000. I've not only defended thousands of people just like you, I've written 3 books on criminal defense based on that experience that I want you to have at no cost. These books explain the basics behind criminal charges and offer the most effective defense strategies to fight and win your case. So before we sit down and discuss your criminal problem, get your free books now. Visit GamboneLaw.com or call my office at 215-755-9000.
If you like karaoke, make sure you head over to the Frontier Saloon in Folsom, PA, where DJ Cat runs karaoke every Friday night. You'll find DJ Cat singing and taking karaoke requests starting at 9:30 p.m. There's no better way to start your weekend, so get to the Frontier Saloon at 336 Kedron Avenue in Folsom for Friday Night Karaoke with DJ Cat.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti with Doug Horton. Phillies chaplain Pastor Robert Pinckney is here filling in for Kyle Horner, and we've been saying it all show long. We're going to have a special guest all the way from the North Pole. Santa Claus has come to the studio, taking some time out of his busy schedule right now to join us on Faith on the Field show. Welcome, Santa.
Hello, hello. Merry Christmas.
Santa, we're talking about the true meaning of Christmas and what it means to us. And as someone who does so much in the community and donates his time, and knowing what Santa does in his off period, as I do, tell us what the true meaning of Christmas is for you.
It's the generosity, the goodness, and the love people show in this month of December.
And that's something that we've all kind of tried to emphasize, is that Christmas, the Christmas spirit, the true Christmas, is it's the birth of Jesus Christ, and it's showing other people the love of Jesus. And
correct.
And not just here in Christmas time in December, but 12 months a year all around. Obviously, you get a lot of opportunities to do events, to sit down, to take pictures with kids, and they sit in your lap, and they ask for toys, and some of them got a long list, right?
Someone Toys R Us.
What is like the longest amount of time you've had maybe a kid sit in your lap?
Probably about 17 minutes.
Wow.
You ever get the heavy kids that are a little bit of a load on the lake?
Oh, yeah.
And you're looking at mom and dad giving a wink, and you're saying, help me out here a little bit.
A little bit of aqua therapy after the visit.
But sometimes, and I was mentioning this to the guys earlier, sometimes some kids might have a little bit more than a toy list. They may have a heartwarming type of story, or you might have a different kind of event happen in your lap.
Yeah.
Tell me some of those times.
I had a young man sit on my lap and ask me to help his mother have a little sister.
That's pretty cute.
Which is, I said, Santa, don't do little kids or live animals. That's up to the parents.
That's a little bit out of Santa's jurisdiction.
I had a few that just, wanted peace and joy in the world, which is unusual coming from an 8-year-old.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's perspective, though, isn't it? And you get that from you see that from the family trickling down in. Tell me about the one that, well, when they do that, when they say that to you, how do you respond? Like, what do you say if somebody says, I want peace and joy?
I tell them I try my best to bring peace and joy and warm all the hearts I can.
That's all you can do, right?
Yeah.
That's all you can do as a Santa. Tell me about the one time you had someone do something very special, a couple. the engagement.
Oh, yes, yes. I had a young lady sit on my lap, and she was proposed to right on my lap. I'm on the wall forever now with that family.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and she said yes.
She did say
yes. She did say yes.
Have you followed up, though? Did you make sure that they're still together?
I do that house every Christmas Eve for the last 7 years now.
They have kids now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So that started a nice little tradition there.
Twins.
Twins, too.
Twins.
Now, so it wasn't Remy and I?
No.
It wasn't Remy and I?
No.
I didn't propose. You know, you always talk about the perfect proposal. And you, how did she, was she really excited about it? And well, some girls might be like, no.
She was shocked when I told her to sit on my lap, and it was about 14 boxes later because it was a big box, and it went to a small box and a smaller box. And then finally, the last box was the ring box, and she started crying, and he was on one knee.
Wow.
And she said yes on my knee.
Now, those are parents that can't tell their kids that Santa doesn't exist, right? I mean, like, that's just a conversation that they just can't have. They're like, Mom, it's in every picture, and it's on the wall, right? So, you know.
Wait, so you had to give out 13 gifts first?
It took a while, but it was worth it.
Yeah, man.
The father pulled me aside and told me what was going on, so.
Okay, what was it at, an event, at a party?
No, it was at a house, just a house booking.
So how many pictures do you take maybe, say, in a given December?
Probably well over between 5,000 and 7,000.
Five and seven thousand.
Yes.
And when do you start usually? Is it before Thanksgiving? Is it after Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
Okay. Right.
Thanksgiving Day, we have like a 2 or 3 bookings. And then from there, it's ready to go.
Mrs. Claus must be phenomenal.
Oh, she is. I couldn't do this without her.
Mrs. Claus, who is here off camera, she didn't want to join us on camera. She's always wherever Santa goes, Mrs. Claus is with him.
I couldn't do it without her.
She's your right hand, your left hand, whatever we
everything.
Call, right? She's your everything. So if you want to book Santa for your event, and Santa has been gracious enough to come out last year to our toy drive, and he was there Saturday night for the Remy and Rob Be a Blessing Foundation launch party, and we really appreciate you coming out every year and supporting us like that.
My pleasure.
Kids really enjoyed it, and the adults really were taking it. Pastor Rob, I saw you taking some pictures.
Listen, it took me 45 years to take a picture with Santa.
Was that no way? Was that
your
first?
That was my first picture with Santa. Y'all going to really think that I'm a sad person.
Wow.
Honestly. That was my first picture with Santa.
That was your first one. Was it worth it? Did you do it?
Yes, it was good. It was worth it.
Was your family, whole family in it?
Yeah, I think me and Dana and the two daughters that we had with us, we took pictures with you on
Saturday.
Man,
you gotta post that.
You stood behind me.
Yeah, there you go.
You gotta post that.
Yep.
So if you put that on
Facebook and then
man,
tell your
for
dad,
sure, right? That's a first time. That's a big one.
That's my first time ever taking a picture with Santa.
If you want to book a visit from Santa, it's called A Visit from Santa. Make sure you give a call 856-558-3397. We will also put that on our Facebook and let you guys know. But Santa Claus, he does a great job at parties. He does a great job on the air. We really appreciate A Visit from Santa. 856-558-3397. We want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
You as well, guys. You as well. Be healthy.
Rob, we talk a lot about faith on the field and all these athletes that are in action. You know, Santa Claus is in full game mode. It's playoff mode right now.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, we all have different roles. You guys are at work. Everybody's doing different things. So, you know, you can be a blessing in a lot of different ways. So we appreciate you coming in today. And,
not a problem.
Just spreading the blessings that you do.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everybody.
We really appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Guys, we're gonna continue our show with some Christmas carols and some Christmas songs that are among our favorites. Some of the things that we really enjoyed over the years. Doug, you had a couple that you wanted to talk about that you hate. I'm going to talk about, Ryan, I don't know if you got this ready. Do you have it? Were you able to get the song? My favorite Christmas song is Mary, Did You Know? That's definitely my favorite one. Can you play that a little bit, Ryan? He's trying. He could do it. And there's the Pentatonix version.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would Lord, save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to
me? That's a pretty awesome song, guys. I just love that song. I love the meaning behind it, the Mary, did you know, about the Savior being born. So that's my all-time favorite one. O Come All Ye Faithful, great one. Silent Night is absolutely among the favorites. Hark the Herald Angels. I like the Hark the Herald Angels, the Mariah Carey version from like, maybe 1993, 94.
Yeah.
It's that was old a good one.
That's a goodie, though.
Bryan Adams' Christmas Time song. I love that song. Yeah. I don't know, something about Christmas Time. I love that song. I know I'm probably the only person who likes a Bryan Adams song. Ryan, you want to chime in before we go to these guys? Your favorite Christmas carols?
Happy Birthday, Jesus, or You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
Okay, see, I like
both spectrums right there. Yeah, that's good.
Happy Birthday, Jesus is great. The Grinch one, you like that or you hate that?
Oh, I love it. It's my ringtone for the last 4 years.
That does not surprise me that Ryan would like a song with the term with Grinch in it. It just I would put that on my not among not favorite list for sure. That one and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
There you go. Yeah. Well, we do have some people that are watching on Facebook Live. So if you're on Facebook Live, write in what you like the best and what you don't like.
Yeah,
we'll throw it out there. Yeah, so I know Meredith Sullivan, good friends of ours that go to our church. She's a phenomenal singer, by the way.
Okay.
And so she put in O Holy Night. So she
sings great.
You know, especially when you hear somebody sing it very, very well. I went to a concert Saturday night. Unfortunately, Chris and I, missed your foundation dinner, but we'll get the next one. But it was another radio station. Are we allowed to say?
Yeah.
Other radio, K-Love Christmas special.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So we are messengers. We're phenomenal singing there. But then a woman that I've heard the songs all the time, Plum. Have you ever heard Plum before?
Yeah. Mm.
So she sang. She was phenomenal singing. So it was just great to hear
any
really,
specific
really good
songs.
She sang O Holy Night, and she just really just a cappella just sang it out, and it was phenomenal.
You sing that song, it's a special song. It really is.
And just
song.
When it's quiet and you just listen to it, and when somebody can really sing a way that God's blessed them, it makes it so much. You get chills, you know. But you know, I was thinking, I like K-Love. I listen to a lot of K-Love, and I like how they play some Christmas songs and they play regular songs as we kind of go through the day. What we used to do was listen to like B101, right? And so they used to always play radio Christmas songs. Like starting early. We just listened to that all the time. And I just remember there was a couple that I would hear all the time, and it just drove me crazy.
Really?
Right? So I guess that's
Wait, can I guess?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Santa Baby.
It didn't really bother me too much.
Okay.
No, I didn't like it, but it wasn't, you know. But
go ahead. Jingle Bells.
Go ahead, Rye. What do you got?
I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one. Yeah.
Really.
You don't like that either, Ryan? Awful.
No. But
what about the one where they say I'm getting nothing for Christmas?
Oh yeah.
That's okay. You know.
You like
that?
I
don't like that.
No, I mean it's okay, but you know, but Wham's Last Christmas. Last Christmas, I Gave You My Heart, that one.
Yeah.
I would turn that. I hated that song. I would actually get mad when I heard that song.
But
right?
I like the song.
Two thumbs
Christmas?
Down. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I was looking at, I actually kind of Googled a little bit, and it said 2016 Worst Christmas Songs of All Time. So it had the top 20.
Right.
And I heard this the other day, but it was Christmas Shoes. Did you ever hear Christmas Shoes?
No.
Where little guy standing in line, and he basically is like, hey, you know, his mom's about to die, and he just wants to buy Christmas shoes.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So I was listening to that, and, you know, it made me think when I was looking at this, I was like, it was really sad. Like, it has a lot of meaning to it, but, like, it didn't get me in good mood at that point. So,
but you
said
that Last Christmas now.
By Wham?
Yeah, believe it or not. Did you hear Taylor Swift?
Did she sing the same version of it now?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Really? Did she change the lyrics for, like, a boyfriend? Because it's always about an ex-boyfriend. No?
She actually sang the same lyrics, so it's pretty good.
The other song I always didn't like, and it's a Christian song too, is Little Drummer Boy, the Drummer Boy song.
You didn't like that one?
I didn't like that either. You didn't like that?
I'm not a fan.
I like the instrumentals, the Christmas Eve in Sarajevo, that instrumental. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. By the way, Pastor Rob, Dana chimed in to say that wasn't her first time with taking a picture with Santa. So for you it was.
That was for me, first time taking a picture with Santa.
Not for her.
Nah. But,
so first time for Santa, still don't have your tree up. Do you listen to Christmas songs?
Yeah, we got B 101 playing all day long in the car, so, you know.
Yeah, we
as an ambassador for the station, I'll push you into 99.5 WJBR.
Okay, well, there that we station go.
That's
right
a great
there.
Say that one more time, Ryan, for people listening.
99.5 WJBR.
Okay, all Christmas stuff.
All your Christmas favorites.
Absolutely.
Oh, we'll turn to that then. Thank you, sir.
I got to tell you a funny story about I got to tell you a song story. So my girls, they're in preschool, and you know the routine where they go because your girls went there, right?
Yep, they did.
So they have one day a week where they do music class. And they sing worship songs, right? So my girls have grown up in the household in an environment where they're singing elevation worship songs at the top of their lungs just on their own. So one of them, they don't like the music class because they don't play elevation worship. They're singing like typical old school Christian songs. And it's really difficult to get Alexia to go on Thursday because it's music class. And she's like, they don't do elevation worship songs. I'm like, babe, well, I can't get the teacher to do these songs for you. So today is a Tuesday, but they're doing music, and hopefully she got through it.
Well, it's just, worship is a phenomenal thing, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at music, it's a phenomenal form of worship, and people have their thoughts about what is right, what is wrong, what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy, and you know what you can have for Christmas, what you can't have for Christmas, mm-hmm. right? So what kind of songs do you sing? I'm put you on the spot, Pastor Robert. Yeah. So what kind of songs do you guys have, you know, your services leading into Christmas and Christmas songs? Are you going old hymns, or are you kind
old
of doing
hymns.
More contemporary?
We do the old hymns, Old Holy Night,
Oh, Come All You Faithful.
Oh, Come All You Faithful. I was about to say the 12 Days of Christmas. We go with the old traditional hymns.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you like the old traditional hymns?
You know, I think there's a point where you put those in there, but then you can also make it a little bit more contemporary and listen to some of the Elevation Worship and, you know, some of the newer groups that are out there.
So my daughters can be happy with it.
I think it's good to have a broad perspective.
Well, guys, that's going to wrap up our Christmas edition of Faith on the Field show. It's fun. It was fun to talk about it.
And it was the most relaxing show today,
the most
right?
important thing that I wanted to emphasize, that I want to get across to people, is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and not get caught up in having to worry about stressful stuff going on in your life, like buying gifts and filling out cards and doing all your shopping and getting all that done. Just take a moment, sit back and relax. Mm-hmm. The Savior was born. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. He's our Savior, and that's really what it's all about. This is now episode 35 of Faith on a Field show, and if you've missed any of our previous episodes, you can catch up on iTunes. You can subscribe to Faith on a Field show. You could download, listen at your convenience. We had Santa Claus on today as our special guest. First time we had a non-athlete on our show. 35
episodes. He's going up and down chimneys and climbing on roofs.
So
he's pretty athletic.
He's more athletic than Clayton Kershaw or Carson Wentz or Jason Tatum or Mike Schmidt.
Nobody's more athletic than Carson Wentz. Come on, Robert.
Any of those guys we've had on. You can follow us online, faithonafieldshow.com, like our Facebook page as well. I want to thank all of our sponsors, Eastern University, Tree Awareness, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins, Wood Flooring, Dr. Sylvie and MedCore Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist, Catalyst Outdoor. Thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for all he does. Thank you to Bree Grignano for everything she does, along with our interns, Dakota Boring and Sal Tortora. Thank you to our producer, Ryan Lennox, our wives, Remy, Chris, Dana, and Danielle, Kyle Horner's wife, for allowing us the time. We'll welcome back Kyle next week. I believe he'll be back from his long vacation. For everybody out there, from us to you, have a very, very, very Merry Christmas. Have a blessed new year. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.